অষ্টোত্তর শত শ্রী শ্রীমদ অভয় চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয়। নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়। প্রেম সে কহ শ্রী কৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাসী গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপীনাথ শ্যামকুন্দ রাধাকুন্দগিরি গৌরবৃন্দ কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা রাধানাথ শ্রীমান মহাপ্রভু কি জয়। সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়। গৌর প্রেমানন্দ অল গ্লোরি শ্রী অ্যাসেম্বলিতে করছে, অল গ্লোরি শ্রী অ্যাসেম্বলিতে করছে, অল গ্লোরি শ্রী অ্যাসেম্বলিতে করছে, অল গ্লোরি শ্রী শ্রী গুরু অ্যান্ড শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ, অল গ্লোরি শ্রী শিল প্রভুপাদ। নমস্তে সরস্বতী, ওম অজ্ঞানতি নিরান্ধস্য জ্ঞানাঞ্জনশলাকয়া চক্ষুরুন্মীলিতং যেন তস্মৈ শ্রী গুরবে নমঃ। মুখং করোতি বাচালং পঙ্গুং লঙ্ঘয়তে গিরিং যত কৃপা তমহং বন্দে শ্রী গুরুং দেবতাম। হরে কৃষ্ণ। Towards the end of Dwapar Yuga, when the Kali Yuga was about to begin, and in the age of Kali, people naturally become very dull and lazy and devoid of all good qualities. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could see that how people of this age will become degraded and will lose the ability to understand the spiritual knowledge, or will become completely devoid of any spiritual understanding, and even devoid of any inclination to understand the spiritual reality, he summarized the spiritual knowledge which was given in the Vedas in the form of Bhagavad Gita, and he presented it to Arjuna. Bhagavad Gita, in that sense, is the essence of all spiritual knowledge. Veda is the sum total of the spiritual knowledge. All knowledge pertaining to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His nature is called the Veda. And the Vedas are the only means to understand the science of God. Without the Vedas, or without approaching the Vedas, without the help of the Vedas, it is impossible to understand the Supreme Personality of God. And at the beginning of creation, Krishna gave this knowledge to Brahma. He imparted the knowledge in the heart of Brahma, and then the knowledge extended through Brahma's teachings and through the teachings of Brahma's disciples and disciples of his disciples. In this way, the Vedas are a vast ocean of knowledge. And saintly people, those who are desirous of understanding the spiritual reality and thus making spiritual advancement, they actually swim in that ocean of the Vedic wisdom. The saintly people, those who are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they constantly swim and they literally become submerged in that ocean of spiritual knowledge. But in this age of Kali, people lost that affinity or inclination. In this age of Kali, people are naturally averse to spiritual life and naturally averse to Krishna consciousness. So what to speak of swimming in the ocean of this Vedic wisdom, people in this age of Kali don't even want to approach that ocean. Don't even want to come anywhere near that ocean of spiritual knowledge. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead had to present the sum and substance of the Vedic wisdom in the form of Bhagavad Gita towards the end of Dwapar Yuga and just before Kali Yuga began. This Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters, and these 18 chapters deal with three principal aspects of Vedic spiritual activity, namely Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and devotion. Karma, Jnana, and Bhakti. The first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita deal with Karma Kanda. And the last six chapters of Bhagavad Gita deal with Gyanakanda. And in the middle, six chapters, from 7 to 12 chapters, deal with devotional service. Karmakanda section of the Vedas describes how one can enjoy this material nature, how one can enjoy his material existence. And informations have been given how one can actually enjoy. Then the last six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, from 13 to 18 chapters, describe how to become free from the bondage of matter, or that is called Gyanakanda. The goal of Karmakanda is material enjoyment or sense gratification, and the goal of Gyanakanda is to attain liberation or attain freedom from material bondage. But in the middle, these six chapters deal with how one can develop loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, himself is revealing that sign. Therefore, no scripture can be more authentic and more authoritative than Bhagavad Gita. Whatever one wants, one can get through Bhagavad Gita. If one wants to enjoy this material nature, he can have enough information how to enjoy this material nature. If one wants to become free from material bondage and attain liberation, there also he can get all information how he can become free from this material bondage through the Gyanakanda section of the Vedas. But the essence of all Vedic wisdom is kept in the middle of Bhagavad Gita in the form of pure devotional service. Actually, material enjoyment is very transient. We can aspire for material enjoyment only when we have the proper facilities for that. First of all, when we have good health, then we can aspire for material enjoyment. But when the health is bad, when one is suffering through some disease and old age, then one can see that there is no enjoyment in the material nature. And when one realizes that there is no enjoyment in the material nature, when one realizes that how miserable this material nature is, how terrible place this is for suffering, then one wants to get out of this material nature. But just to get out of the material nature also is not the answer. The ultimate answer is spirit soul loving attachment to the Supreme Personality of God. A living entity is a spiritual being, and as a spiritual being, a living entity has certain natural spiritual inclination. And unless and until one is situated in that spiritual inclination or spiritual affinity, then he cannot become satisfied. Therefore, material enjoyment or even liberation from material bondage do not really give us what we are actually looking for. And what we are looking for is available only through devotional service. That has been explained in the Bhagavad Gita in a very sublime and profound way, from 7th chapter onwards. Like we can discuss that briefly, discuss the 7th chapter briefly. In the beginning of the 7th chapter, Krishna himself is instructing Arjuna. The beginning of the seventh chapter says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, means the Supreme Personality of Godhead says. So these words are not anyone's mental concoction or fictitious presentation. These are the words spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is mentioned here, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says. Maya Shakta Muna Partha Jogan Jinjan Madashraya Asham Shayam Samagra Mam Jatha Jyashyashi Satchriya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says, now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So here, Krishna is actually giving Arjuna the knowledge how he could possibly understand him. Often, people wonder who God is, how he looks like, what he's like. But here in Bhagavad Gita, all the informations are given in perfect, complete, in perfect and complete way by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He is saying, jat asamshayam samagram nam. Asamshayam means without any doubt. Samagram means completely. Mam means me. Jatha gyashyasi tat shrinu. Listen to me. I am imparting the knowledge unto you by which you will get to know me in totality, in completeness. Samagram mam. And asamshayam, without any doubt. You'll get to know me without any doubt. That means you'll get a total understanding of me without any doubt. A clear understanding of the Supreme Personality of God. And then Krishna is saying, Jnanam te aham shavijnanam idam baksham me asheshataha jajyasya neha bhuya annar jatakvam avashishvati. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and luminous. Thus, this being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. So Krishna is preparing, or this is the introduction to the knowledge about himself. He is repeatedly reminding Arjuna that when you get to know me, then nothing else will remain to be known. Knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, everything becomes known and nothing is remained to be known. Jagyatva, or rather, Jashmin Vigyate, Sarvamevam Vigyatam Bhavati. Knowing me, everything becomes known. Now, often this question, this is addressed, like, how can that be possible? Just knowing God, everything becomes known. The answer to that can be considered through one analogy, that when the sun comes out, then in the light of the sun, we can see the sun, we can see ourselves, and we can see everything around us. In order to see the sun, we don't need any lamp or any other light.
When the sun comes up, when we get to see the sun, then we can see everything. Similarly, when we get to know God, when you get to know Krishna, then everything becomes lost. In the light of Krishna consciousness, we perceive everything as it is. And then Krishna is saying how rare this knowledge is. He is saying, Manushanam sahasreshu kaschit jatati siddhaye jatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam vyakti tattvatah. This knowledge is actually very, very rare. Manushanam sahasreshu, out of thousands of people, rarely one aspires for spiritual knowledge or aspires for perfection. Perfection means, perfection of life means aspiration for endeavor for spiritual knowledge. Actually, human life is not meant to be wasted, meant for wasting in material enjoyment or in pursuing material enjoyment like cats and dogs. That's the life of animals. Those who are trying to spend their life in sense gratification, in material enjoyment, is actually not quite human. They are like animals. And the Vedas have described them as naradhama. Like they are human beings. In their appearance they are like human beings. But actually they are not human beings. They are subhuman species. And actually today's world is filled with those subhuman beings. So, manushanam sahasreshu, out of thousands of such people, rarely one aspires for perfection. They aspire to fulfill the human form of life. Kaschit jatati siddhaye. And jatatam api siddhanam, and out of thousands of such aspiring people, those who are aspiring for spiritual advancement or spiritual perfection, rarely one attain perfection. And who have attained spiritual perfection, it is rare to come across someone who actually knows Krishna in truth. Jatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam vyakti tattvatah. So that is how rare this knowledge is. And this knowledge is being imparted unto Arjuna by Krishna himself. Therefore Krishna is saying, that Arjuna, I am giving this knowledge unto you, please take it. And accepting this knowledge, receiving this knowledge, there will be nothing will remain to be known. And then Krishna is describing the what is this material nature, and then he is describing what is the spiritual reality. Krishna says that this material nature is composed of 8 elements. Bhumi, Rapo, Anolo, Vayu, Khang, Mano, Buddhi, Devacha, Ahankara, Iti, Amne, Dhinna, Prakriti, Rakshadhan. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these 8 constitute my separated material energy. So this material nature is composed of these 8 elements. Out of these 8 elements, 5 are gross and 3 are subtle. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether are gross material elements, and mind, intelligence, and false ego, mon, buddhi, and ahankar, these 3 are subtle elements. Mind also is actually a material element. Intelligence is matter. Intelligence also is a material element. And false ego as well is a material element. Ahankar. But then Krishna is saying that apara yam ikastananam prakritin vidhi me para jiva bhutan mahabahu jajinam dharyate jagat. Besides these, that means besides these 8 elements, that is beyond earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, even beyond false ego, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mind which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. So beyond this gross material nature, or beyond this material nature, which is composed of these 8 elements, there is a superior nature, prakritin vidhi me param, mind, and jiva bhutan mahabahu, and the living entities are coming from the superior nature. The living entities did not generate in this material nature. Material nature is material. Material nature produces only matter. Material nature cannot produce or generate anything beyond matter or anything besides matter. But living entities are non-material. Living entities are spiritual. And those spiritual living entities, the spiritual beings, came from the superior nature of Krishna. Prakritin vidhi me param. Para prakriti means superior nature. And the living entities are exploiting this material nature, or living entities are sustaining this material nature. So in this way, we can see how gradually Krishna is giving the knowledge to Arjuna. The next thing Krishna is telling, that eta jonini bhutani sarvar mittu padharaya aham krishnasya jagata prabha bhavalaya tatha. All created beings have their source in these 2 natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. Krishna is the origin of both the nature, material and spirit. And then Krishna is saying, matto parakaram nanna kinchi dasti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam krutam sutre mani ganayuga. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So here we get to know who Krishna is. Krishna is the creator of not only this material nature, but Krishna is the creator of the spiritual nature as well. And Krishna is the source of everything, and everything is resting upon Krishna. Just as the pearls are strung in a thread, similarly, everything is resting upon Krishna. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Now it's a very wonderful simile. We see a pearl necklace. They are all strung together, they are all held together. And they are actually held by a thread. But from outside, from our apparent vision, we don't get to see the thread. With our bare eyes, we can't see the thread. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is holding everything together. Everything is resting upon Him, but we cannot see Him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in the heart of everyone, in the heart of not only the living entities, but Krishna is situated even within the atoms and molecules. Andan tarastha paramanam chayan tarastha. Krishna is situated even in atoms and molecules. But with our ordinary vision, we cannot possibly see Him. Although He is sitting in everyone's heart, we cannot see Him. Why can't we see Him? Because we don't have the vision to see Him. He is spiritual, but our vision is material. So with our material eyes, can we possibly see the spiritual being, the Supreme Spirit, Krishna? No. With our material eyes, we can only see matter. But Krishna, who is beyond matter, cannot be perceived. What to speak of, with our material eyes, we can see matter. Even subtle matter cannot be seen by eyes. What to speak of subtle matter, even gross, finer gross matter cannot be seen with our eyes. For example, we know that air is matter. Earth, water, fire. Up to fire we can see with our eyes. Earth we can see with our eyes. Water we can see with our eyes. Fire we can see with our eyes. But then air we cannot see with our eyes. But we can feel it. We can feel its presence. And finer than air is ether. We cannot see ether with our eyes, nor can we feel ether with our other senses like touch, etc. And then beyond ether is mind, beyond mind is intelligence, and beyond intelligence is false ego. And we cannot possibly see them or perceive them with our material senses, but we can perceive them with our higher perception. Like we can perceive our mind with intelligence. We can perceive intelligence with our intelligence. We can also perceive our false ego with our intelligence. So So with intelligence, we can perceive these higher subtle material elements. So we can see that our gross material perception is so limited that we can't even perceive gross material elements through them. And at some point, we have to transcend these faculties or our sense perception and depend upon our intelligence. And basing upon our intelligence, we can understand the existence of mind, existence of intelligence and false ego, and beyond that, the existence of spirit. So often people ask, I don't believe in God because I can't see Him. But it's such a foolish argument, or it's such a foolish statement. Like there are so many things that we cannot see with our eyes, but we know that they exist, and our eye, the perception or the factor, the ability of our eyes is so limited. Actually, the closest thing to our eyes are eyelids, and we can't see that with our eyes. The eyes cannot see the closest object. What to speak of the furthest object? With our eyes, we cannot even see ether, but we know ether exists. With our eyes, we cannot see our mind, but we know mind exists. But how do we understand that we have a thing called mind? Through our intelligence. And it is through our intelligence that we can understand that we are spirit souls. For example, like now I'm speaking to you, and you are thinking at the back of your mind that He is here and He is speaking to us. But now if I drop dead, my body will be lying here, but you will say, He is gone. Now who is that that is gone? That is that kept his body alive. That is gone. And who is that? That is spirit, the spirit soul. This we can understand only with our intelligence. If anyone asks, have you seen the spirit soul? Did anyone see the spirit soul? No. Now, does spirit soul exist? A fool will say, yes, spirit soul doesn't exist. Actually, the foolish people only are not aware of the existence of the spirit soul, but an intelligent man knows that there is spirit. And beyond that spirit soul, there is a supreme spirit. Now let us see whether we can also see Him with our intelligence. That supreme spirit of God can be perceived with intelligence. How? The example can be given through one incident that there's a controversy about that, the name of the scientist, so I won't mention the name. It's not that the person is not important. The fact is what matters. So I just don't mention the name of that scientist. He's a very, very famous, one of the greatest scientists of the world. But he was a theist. He used to believe in God. But he had a philosopher friend who did not believe in God. He was an atheist. So the scientist and the philosopher friend often used to have arguments about the existence of God. So one day, this philosopher came to the scientist's laboratory and he saw the model of the planetary system. The sun in the middle, and different planets were moving around that sun according to the arrangement of gears and levers in different velocities. So they were moving. So when he saw that model, he was extremely surprised. The philosopher asked,
the scientist, that who made this? So the scientist says, no one made this. The philosopher said, how is it possible? Please tell me, someone must have made it. You must have made it. Then he said, no, I didn't make it. No one made it. It just appeared. So he said, no. Please tell me who made it. So this way they went back and forth a few times. Then finally, the scientist told the philosopher, look, when I show this model and tell you no one made this, you don't believe me. But when I point out to the night sky and show you those innumerable stars and planets maintaining such a wonderful order, and I tell you that there must be a creator behind that and who is maintaining everything, then you say, no, no, there is no one like that. So see what a great fool you are. Actually, it needs to be a great fool to be an atheist. And it's only an intelligent person who can understand the existence of God. Because through intelligence only we can understand the existence of God. Because God cannot be seen with eyes. These material eyes are limited to our material perception. But how can we perceive the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Spiritual Being with our material eyes? So in order to understand Him, in order to perceive Him, we need a lot of gray matter. And those who don't have it, those who are devoid of it, they are unfortunate creatures. So those who don't know Krishna, they're very, very unfortunate. But those who know Him, they're very fortunate, and that's what Krishna explained in this verse, in this chapter. This entire seventh chapter is actually a perfect approach to understand the Supreme Personality of God. So those of you who have accepted Krishna consciousness seriously, please read Bhagavad Gita, especially the middle six chapters, 7 to 12 chapters, scrutinizingly. Prabhupada in his purport have given the most lucid and sublime understanding of the Supreme Personality of God. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions? Well, it seems that the paper didn't go around today. Suresh, you have some questions? Small kirtan. Why should you limit it to a small one? Which one?
Krishna jinka naam hai, Gokul jinka dhaam hai, aise hi Bhagwan Krishna
Jinka Naam Hai.
यशोदा जिन की मैया है, नंद जी बैया है, ऐसे श्री गोपाल को बारंबार यशोदा जिनकी मैया है, नंद जी बैया है, ऐसे श्री गोपाल को बारंबार Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna jinka naam hai, Gokul jinka dhaam hai, aise Shri Bhagavan ko baar baar
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Shri Prabhupada.